Hello and welcome to another episode of Words With Myself.
I'm sure for most of us that it's true, that the words we use and the way that we communicate changes around different people, that who we represent ourselves as highly depends on who our audience is. We might act differently around our friends as we would around co-workers or parents or other family members. You might be able to express yourself in different ways depending on who you're with. You're going to express yourself differently with your romantic partner as you would do with just somebody at work or somebody in the street. They're going to get different versions of you. And I'm sure many of us hold these different state adaptations that we become and these different like preset personas that we use depending on who we're around or what we're trying to represent ourselves with. And then as time goes on, we begin to take these characters more seriously. They become more ingrained as part of us. So much so, and we can get so invested in playing a particular role or a particular character that it can actually be quite hard to decipher what is actually you. You know, who are you at your core? What are you like without everything that made you who you are? You know, what is at the very essence? And it's quite hard to know which parts are you and which parts are trauma responses or defense mechanisms or negative habits and patterns. There's so many things when you strip it all down that you realize that a lot of what makes you you is the programming that you've received. The programming that you've received from parents and schools and governments and TV shows and music and everything, all that you've experienced has shaped you into this person that you are today. But outside of personal experience, outside of what you have gone through, what you have seen, what you have heard with your own ears and seen with your own eyes, is these sets of rules and programming that you get from having to learn how to behave, social customs, you know, learning how to do things the proper way or do things in a way that you become a normal person, that you fit in with the people around you and are able to interact with you. You know, there's very good reasons for having some of these social fabrics, you know, things that bind us together and hold us together and allow us to be able to communicate and facilitate knowledge sharing, all kinds of stuff like this. But there is definitely this way of pushing certain ideas and ideologies and ways of thinking, like forcing you into something that is not you, but instead a set of programming. Your programming as to what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is valuable, what is precious, what means something. We get all of these ideas often from external sources, not so much from what we've experienced, but instead from what we've been told. We've been told that life is a certain way, or this is a certain way that you need to behave in order to be good. This is a certain way you need to be bad. This is what you need to do in order to be worth something. There's all these different sets of parameters and conditions that we have to bend ourselves into. And it's very easy to get lost in those games, to forget that you are playing that human character, that you have created this person for good reason, so that you can operate in the world, so that you can do the game, so that you're able to play and have stake in it and actually do some of the things that you want to do. But you do have to remember that you are playing the character, that that's your choice. And if you're unhappy with who you are or what you're doing or how your life is going, you can drop that character. We feel very indebted to our sense of self. Like, to change or to let go of who we are is the worst thing ever. You know, to lose yourself, it's seen as in a very negative light. But honestly, sometimes you need to lose yourself in order to find yourself, because you think that you have found yourself, because you think that you know who you are based on a set of experience. You know, people have a very grounded sense of self-identity, but it's all superficial. It's not really you. It's what you represent yourself with. Like, I'm a writer, I'm a doctor, I'm a nice person, I'm a good person. It's very one-sided. You know, it's not a good representation of you because you are so many things and you're such a complex being. There are so many different sides to you. You're not always good. You're not always bad. You're not always nice. You're not always horrible. You know, there are times when you do things that are probably not the best. You may try very hard to do the right thing, but even still, you might end up doing something that negatively affects someone, and you are the enemy of their story, whether you mean to be or not. And sometimes just by doing what is right for you can end up putting you in that position. It's not always like you're a bad person, but we all have different definitions of what is good and what is bad, and we may have similar ideas, but some people can have very strong opinions about things that they see as bad that you might not even think about in your day as even a thing. You know, it may not even be a consideration. Yet to them, you've crossed a very real and very serious boundary. So many of these attributes that people say so vigorously about, this is stuff that represents me. You know, I'm nice, I'm kind, I'm funny. But you're nice now, in this moment. You might be funny sometimes. You might be good sometimes. But that's not a holistic idea of who you are. And we're very bad at representing who we are because we don't want to believe that there are parts of us that we might not like or may even hate and hide from ourselves and very vehemently like push it down and to the side and pretend like it's not there. But it is there. And we know deep down that it's there. But when we come to representing ourselves, we don't want to act like it's there. We want to act like it's not there. And either way, whether you spend your time fixated on all of the best parts of yourself, or you kind of in a self-loathing state where you look at only the worst parts of yourself, then either way, you're missing this huge part in the middle, this huge grey area, which isn't, you know, the very worst of you, and it's not the very best of you, whatever that means, but instead it's all of the stuff in between, all of the different variations, and you can change from one day to the next in such drastic ways, and yet here we are, holding on to this sense of self, this I am this person, I can do this and I can't do that, or I should do this and I shouldn't do that. These hard rules that we set for ourselves, which really we've had for such a long time that we're actually scared to give them up. You know, it can be very terrifying to think that we're going to change a big piece of ourselves when it's something that might have kept us safe for a really long time. But sometimes you need to cut off a part of yourself in order to grow. And you have to set yourself free in that way rather than kind of labour yourself with the history of who you've had to be. Because who you've had to be, just because you've lived a life where you had to be surviving all your life, that doesn't mean you have to remain in survival mode. You can break free from that and choose to instead live life as opposed to just surviving. And to let go of that, to let your guard down and to kind of ease into just trusting and being in a place where you're trusting God, you're trusting the universe, you trust yourself to just do what you want to do, and the things that you feel connected with and drawn to are for you, and to know that and to move forward and to just take each day as it comes and be in the present. But it can be hard. It can be hard to let go of these ideas that we've held about ourselves for so long, to realize that we're not actually limited by any real capacity, but instead we are limited by our mind, what we believe we can achieve, what we believe we can become, what we believe we can do. That is what we are limited by. And when you set yourself free from that and realize that it's you who created you all along, and that you can be anything that you want to be, but that does mean that you might have to let go of some things. It might mean that you have to let a part of yourself die. You have to rise from the ashes and allow yourself to evolve into something different, something else, rather than holding on to this idea of who you are now. As hard as it is necessary. And there's actually something else that's like really neat about these kind of ways that we lock into certain personalities and adapt to different groups. Because what you'll notice is the areas you picked up trauma, like maybe there's a something that you tell yourself that's like negative self-talk. Let's say something like you were bullied in school for a terrible haircut, and all the time you got really self-conscious about your hair. And when your hair is bad, you will often find yourself talking to yourself in a way that is akin to what you would have spoke like in that moment, or maybe even how it was said to you at the time. For instance, the bullies might have said to you, you look like a freak. And at the time, it felt so awful and you felt so dehumanized and embarrassed and ridiculed. And it really stuck with you. Yet every time you look in the mirror, you say to yourself, fucking hell, you look like a freak. And you're saying that to yourself. And you see this like interesting synchronicity of the link between how you say it and what you're saying to how that event shaped you. And when that message first started getting ingrained into you, you'll notice this correlation. And you can begin to see these kind of interesting synchronicities in yourself when you start to unpick the layers of who you are, when you start to really examine where you got your characteristics from, you know, which sides of your personality and your ideals and your morals and your idea of right and wrong. All of this stuff, like when you start to work out where that came from exactly and why you hold the beliefs that you hold, because that is ultimately the most difficult thing to do, is to interrogate yourself, interrogate your own beliefs. It's easy to kind of look at new information and scrutinize that. It's quite easy to look for information and read information that is pro your bias, that confirms what you already know, as opposed to reading stuff which is very contrary to what you believe, reading the opposite and playing devil's advocate against yourself. You know, understanding, why exactly do I think this? You know, why do I believe this? Why do I feel so strongly about this? What is it in me? Or what can I relate this to? Where did I first start to feel like this? Ask yourself these questions and you will start to understand how all these events, all of these experiences that you've gone through in your life has carved this path for you, has pushed you in a certain direction. And it is up to you whether you decide that that direction that is pushing in you is aligned with what you want to be doing and who you want to be, or if you feel like it's pushing you off course. Because there are going to be things that have shaped you very profoundly for all the right reasons. You might have had, one of your parents was your absolute idol or superhero, and you saw them save people's lives and they were an ambulance worker or something like that. And you thought, wow, that is what I want to do. I want to save lives like my mum or like my dad. And, you know, those ways that we get inspired are actually very good and, you know, very beautiful moments. But it's important to decipher those things that are aiding you, that are shaping you in the ways that you want to be shaped, and ways that are overwriting your programming and distracting you from who you really are and who you want to be. It's not easy. It's actually a very difficult thing to go through, and it can take a very long time. But ultimately, this is the only worthwhile pursuit in life, is to understand who you are, who you want to be, what is life to you, and what do you want it to be? Because if you're not asking yourself that, if you're not trying to understand who you are and what you want from this life in this short period that you get to experience it, you're going to miss the mark on so much of what you could have been or what you could have done. And before you know it, you're not going to have the time and the opportunity to be able to decide, to say, actually, this is who I want to be. You know, this is who I want to be right now. This is what I want to get done. These are the kinds of things that I want to experience. Because there are so many people that have just got stuck comfortable, that the day isn't quite shitty enough and isn't that great. You know, it's just flat. In the middle, it's not that bad, in order to do something about it, to make the day more positive or take action. But it's not what they want it to be. It's not good. They're not having a great time, or it's not what they would want to be doing. Instead, Most people live their life right in that middle zone. And asking these types of questions, doing this kind of self-work, this self-interrogation, is actually quite unsettling because it disrupts so much of why we're doing what we're doing. You know, it challenges you and gets you to this state where you'll realize that if you're not happy, you actually have to do something about it. And that awareness, having that awareness that actually I'm not doing what I want to do, I'm not living a good life, you know, I'm not waking up every day and thinking, wow, this is great. I'm not doing the things that I want to do. I'm a prisoner of my own mind, my own life, my own situation. And unfortunately, if you don't ask yourself these questions, if you don't do this work, it does become very easy to just accept where you are, accept that is the way it is, and that's how it's always going to be, and die. And I really wish that there was a way to inspire more people, to show them that they actually do have a choice. Because I do think that so many people feel trapped, they feel lost, and they feel stuck, and they don't realize that it's actually a very simple thing to change. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. It's just simple. Like, things aren't the huge left or the huge right that people may perceive it to be in their minds. It may take them on a different direction in life, but it's quite a gradual process. Here's really like a take-home exercise. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, well, what can I do? How can I really implement this tomorrow? I want you to treat yourself like a stranger tomorrow. I want you to do 10 minutes of journaling every day and just get to know yourself. At first, you know, it can be like first date questions or just general questions about what you like to do, you know, what do you want to do, what your dreams are, what your goals are, all this kind of stuff, just general chit chat, and ask questions to yourself like you were a stranger. And once you've got a good amount of questions that you've asked yourself and answered, the next day, look at those questions. And I want you to look at the answers that you've given and think about why. See if you can come up with any rationalization or any correlation between an answer that you've given based on, you know, a dream that you've got or something that you love doing or a hobby, and then maybe ask yourself a couple of questions on those. Like, why do I love this hobby? What about it gives me joy? What about it makes me happy? What about it do I really connect with? And what made me get into this and take it seriously? You know, what was it that I love about this? And the next day, you can ask yourself a different set of questions and just keep doing this. And the more questions that you want to ask about, because you can go down the rabbit hole, you can really interrogate and question yourself to get to the really deep echelons of, this is who I am, and this is the formative years of my life. These are the formative events. This is what shaped me into me. And you can see whether that is something that you want to continue and pursue. But you should really get to know yourself. And I think that doing it from the perspective of a stranger is fantastic, because we believe that we know ourselves. And often, we can actually know very little about ourselves. And we do a lot to obscure our memory and our idea and our perception of who we are and what made us the way we are. And it can actually take more work to understand ourselves than it can to understand other people. But through understanding yourself, it will, and vice versa, help you to understand other people. The more you can understand why you would do things, how you can empathize with other people, how you can put yourself in their shoes and see why they do the things they do, why they express themselves the way they express themselves, and why people are defending them, you know, maybe defensive, and you think, well, why are you doing that? And then you can see, well, actually, I get a bit defensive when people start to say something that makes me feel criticized or like I'm being judged, and I can see why that person might be feeling this way. And that is really your superpower, is understanding yourself and the real nature of yourself, and then learning how to apply that in the world in a way that you want to, and deciding for yourself who you want to be. Thank you for listening.